Father's Day on Living the Good Life.
It's the river. It's the river.
Praise God. It certainly is Father's Day 2011 on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are so glad that you have joined us today. We're excited. It's a great day. It's a beautiful day in Clearwater, Florida. Mm-hmm. And Connie Farmer, you're actually in the studio.
Yes.
Hey, how is it? We both wore the same shirt. I don't know.
We always do.
It just kind of happens that
way. It's
a color. It's a yellow day, isn't it? It's a yellow day. All right. Yes. We get applause for that. And with us in the studio is our longtime friend, Madeline Ercolano.
Woo!
Yes. Yes. And Madeline has been with us. Actually, you were a part of our radio team when we began the show.
That's
in
right.
07. And that was 4 years ago, Madeline. Can you believe that?
Time flies.
And she is now back as a regular member of the radio team, and we're very excited about that.
And
welcome back.
Extraordinaire.
And great drummer at Beacon of Hope. She's really an excellent drummer, and we're so glad to have you back. And you have a little friend with you today.
I have Sammy here.
Sammy. I don't know if Sammy can be held up for the camera to see.
She's beautiful.
She is beautiful.
Say hi, Sammy.
Can you see her, Bill? Can you see her on video?
Camera?
Yeah, that's Sammy. She's a Pomeranian. She's a good friend of mine, little Sammy. And I've known Sammy a long time,
since
all of her 4 years,
since
she was a baby. And Sammy asked if she could come to the radio station today. So we said, sure. And isn't she cute?
She's so well behaved.
She's very well behaved. So she won't be barking or doing anything weird like
when
that.
When she lays over and all legs are frying up in the air, she's Knocked out with the Holy Spirit.
What kind of dog is she again?
Pomeranian.
Oh, Pomeranian.
Isn't she darling?
She is an excellent Pomeranian.
Yes, she is. And she is very beautiful, Bill. Very beautiful.
Beautiful.
So,
she's gorgeous.
Anyway, so we're glad Sammy's in the studio with us today, and she promises to be a very good girl. It is gorgeous outside in Clearwater, Florida today, and that's the headquarters for Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are global, but we are located in Clearwater where our church is. And we had church today, an exciting day at Beacon of Hope, and a lot of fun. And Connie's getting the internet up here in a second, and it is up.
Yep.
And if you want to email us during the show, you can do that, and we will answer you. And if you have a question or a comment, or you just want to say, hey, how are you? And the answer will be fine. And but you can email us, and we would love to hear from you. And the way to do that is simply email it directly to me, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. So we welcome you to do that today during the show, our two-hour show. So that's cool. We love to hear from our listeners, and we love to be able to answer any questions that you might have on the topic for the day. We're really going to talk about some power today. We've been talking about the Holy Ghost power, the Holy Spirit power, the last couple weeks, but we're going to take it to a new level today and really talk about power that God wants to give us in our individual lives. He doesn't want us living their just kind of ho-hum lives. He wants us to really enjoy the miracle-working power of God. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a real good idea to me. What do you think about that, Connie?
Sure.
Oh, you? I was trying to give her an open-ended question. You know how she does, Bill? Sometimes she'll just say, she'll answer yes or no.
We got to have like sound effects in the background, like the car.
Ding, ding, yeah.
Yes.
Ding, ding. Or the air conditioning going.
Yeah. Yes, but so.
Or the bridge choking out the signal.
All right, let's backtrack and try that again. I forgot why I even asked you, Connie. Are you glad to be in the studio today?
Sure.
Yep, that's the answer, sure. All right, but it is exciting to get in here and talk about God, isn't it? Don't you just love to talk about the principles in God's Word that cause us to be overcomers and become triumphant in the daily things we go through?
Yeah, I like us being able to share with everybody. Even though we don't really know who we're sharing with, it's really cool to be able to put it out there.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Because there's people out there that are hurting everywhere, mm-hmm. that are going through difficult circumstances, as we all are. Madeline, life is a challenge, is it not? I mean, we have difficult times, all of us. And tell me the importance in your life of the Word of God and what it does for you.
I don't know what I would do without it. I mean, you're right. Life is very challenging, and we can let things get to us on a daily basis if we didn't have God to turn to, if I didn't have God to turn to. But because I do, I know that everything is going to turn out okay in the end, even if I don't know what that's going to be. But right. I just have to move forward in faith and know that He's with me, and that makes everything okay.
Absolutely. And He is with us all the time. Every moment lives within us. And that is so wonderful to know.
And He walks.
That's right. You're singing that song that we did it last couple weeks ago for Jeannie. Yeah. That was her favorite song we did for her funeral and everything. We still miss her. We really, really miss her. And you can actually go to our website now and hear the service, the funeral service, right?
I think what Maxine was working on, she had a lot of stuff to do, and I kind of bombarded her because I'd uploaded everything that I had, all the services, plus Jim's Wednesday night's Jewish Roots ones.
Okay.
So, she was going to work on Jeannie's service first. I think she wants to put a picture up, and Madeline's going to email her a picture.
Oh, that's great.
That picture that we all got copies of. But it won't be long. If it's not up yet, it won't be long.
Yeah, in the next few days, because mm-hmm. Jeannie Brewer was a big part of our ministry, a trustee with us, and had been a part since we began the church, and had been extremely ill for the last few years, and went to be with the Lord a couple weeks ago. So we all miss her still very, very much. So those of you that want to catch her funeral memorial service that we did at Beacon of Hope a couple weeks ago.
Celebration,
it sure was. You can do that on our website very soon.
Only with a box of tissues, though.
With a box of tissues. Yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth, because it was quite an event. Mm-hmm. And Madeline, you helped take care of her for a real long time. And as her niece, it's kind of a big hole in your life, isn't it? You miss her, you know?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I was blessed with meeting her and being able to share the last 6 years of her life.
Right.
And I miss her every day, but, you know, I know she's in the right place.
Yes.
With
yes.
God.
Hanging out with Jesus.
So,
amen. Amen.
We'll see her again.
We'll see her again. So we will have some great things up on our website here in the next few days. We're going to start today's show with an Aaron Jeffrey song, After the Rain. Cool song.
My heart turned from the wind, button my coat, here comes the storm again. What can I do but to trust in Him? 'Cause I know the deeper my faith runs, the stronger I become. And the thunder, it may shake me, but I always know that after the rain, you can look to the sky again. The clouds will give way to the light of the sun. After the rain, you know that you've made it through, and you'll finally see the joy from everyone
on earth, everyone feels the weight of the world sometimes. But don't let the wind sweep your heart away. 'Cause even the roughest waters cleanse. So when they come again, let them serve as a reminder. You can always know that after the rain, you can look to the sky again. The clouds will give way to the light of the sun. After the rain, you know that you made it through, and you'll finally see the joy from the pain. After the rain, can't you see the hand of Jesus reaching out for you? You'll never have to face a storm alone.
The gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gifts of healing. And I'll tell you what, that's power. When God is moving in our lives and by faith and miracles, we're seeing all kinds of things happen. And we are going to talk about that today. And we're going to talk about how you get to that place where you're receiving miracles in your life. And what happens if maybe you're one of these out there today that are saying, I don't feel like there's any miracle going on in my life, you know? And there's a lot of people that don't feel that way, right, Connie?
They do, but I think if they really just look, there's all kinds of miracles that are happening. And just because it's not a life-stopping or a, you know, da-da-da-da moment, sometimes we don't recognize
it. So are you saying that God does work in those little things in our lives also?
Yep.
And there are times when those little things seem insignificant, but they really are building towards something major that God's going to do also. Madeline, you had a comment on that earlier, and we were kind of chatting earlier about so often it does seem like we get mesmerized, or not, maybe that's not the right word, preoccupied with just the big, huge things that God does. And we kind of forget that he's working all the time, don't we?
Yeah, just every day to me that you can get through without letting, you know, all of the challenges of life kind of overwhelm you.
Right.
You know, for me, that might be driving in traffic.
Right.
And sometimes really just letting that maybe dictate the mood for the day. Because
right.
It's not always a pleasant experience.
Exactly.
So, you know, I like to listen to either maybe some music or a CD that'll, you know, God-related and
right.
that'll just keep me in that right mindset. So, and to me, that is a miracle to be able to just get to work and have that good frame of reference that's going to carry on through the rest of the day versus allowing myself to get caught up in the aggravation and not looking to God to help me get through that. And it's, I mean, it works every single time. So to me, that's a miracle.
So how do you start your day that begins that correct sequence of events happening in your life instead of the frustration sequence of events, et cetera?
You know, I really, for me, I have to be very purposeful. When I wake up, I usually make prayer the first thing that I do so that I'm thanking God for the day and waking up and for the blessings that I'm going to find during that day. And letting that, again, just kind of keep me on track and always coming back to him to remind me that I have to be purposeful because it's easy to get caught up in all the distractions.
You have to be purposeful. Why don't you amplify on that?
I really have, for me, I have to think about things a lot so as not to get caught up in the distractions. Because once I'm distracted by all of the outside stimulus of the day, I'm forgetting that if I keep my mind on God and I continue my prayer and my thanks, that I'm peaceful that way.
Exactly.
And I'm not peaceful when I'm letting all of the stimulation just bombard me.
Right. And we can so easily miss the opportunities that God has right in front of us, the people that are going to be on our path, mm-hmm. that He is allowing to be there, and how they're going to affect us, which really, of course, not planned. That's a great segue to 2 Kings chapter 4. If you have your Bible, let's go there. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. And we're going to talk about the prophet Elisha. There was Elijah and Elisha. And the way I remember which one came first is because J comes before S in the alphabet. And I've just made myself have that little memory trick years ago. And I remember that Elijah was a great prophet. But Elijah did half as many miracles as Elisha. And the reason for that is Elisha is the one who said, who was serving Elijah as his servant. He said, I want a double portion of that anointing on you. And some of you remember the story when the day that God was getting ready to take Elijah to heaven, and he took him to heaven in a fiery chariot, just straight up, he said, Elijah to Elisha, you want a double portion? Well, if you can see me go into heaven, in other words, if you have that gift of the Spirit, which would be the discerning of spirits, then God has told me you're gonna get that double portion. Well, that is exactly what happened. That's really cool because Elijah did see Elisha. Or the other way around. Elisha did see Elijah go up into heaven in that fiery cloud of chariot of horses. And so we also know that Elisha is responsible for 32 miracles during his lifetime. Elijah, 16. So exactly double portion. So here we are with Elisha. That's the second one. And Elisha would go through this little town called Shunem. And this is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And there was a prominent or a leading lady in that town. And she would somehow, and we're not exactly sure how he met her or what, but as he would go by that town, she would feed him. He would stop in her house and she would feed him. And this became, it says, a custom. And every time he went through town, he would stop there at her house. Kind of a cool thing. Yeah. So, in verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 4, the lady said to her husband, you know, this man is, there's something different about this man that we're feeding all the time. This man is a holy man of God. Now, I find that interesting because I think that is right there showing the faith of this woman, because she was able to discern this man was different. Elisha was different than just the average person, you know, that would have, that she might have fed. And, instead he was a holy man of God. And she sensed that. How do you see that in people? Madeline, how do you see that characteristic? Or do you?
Well, that's discernment. I mean,
it is. Yeah.
You know, being able to be, I guess look at somebody with your God eye, you know,
right.
to get a sense of someone and feel the energy that they're, you know, allowing to come out and pour forth toward people. Sometimes we're fooled, though.
We are.
So
we can be.
So you have
yes.
to really kind of be, you know, wary. And that's what I mean about being purposeful, too, is, you know, talking to God so
right.
that you can stay in His presence and get that right sense,
exactly.
you know, of what you're dealing with.
Because there's times the devil does try to trick us mm-hmm. and trip us up. But Connie, haven't you experienced in your life that you can sense something different about somebody who really is an anointed servant of God? Isn't there something about them that you can sense?
There's a calmness.
Mm-hmm.
You can see like a calmness in their demeanor, and if you watch them, there's just some traits that you can see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're confident in what they're saying,
right?
And I'm sure that there's probably some of the fakers that can probably
oh, sure.
do the same kind
and
of thing.
And that's probably true.
That
yeah.
aren't quite as genuine, but I think that a lot of times those people, when you look them in the eye, you can see their heart.
I think so, too. And also, conversely, there's times when somebody's thrown in your path that you know there's something just not quite right here. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sensing something chaotic or something kind of, you know, just not at peace and not on the same plane where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But so this lady sensed that Elisha was a man of God. Okay, so she says to her husband, here's what we need to do. We need to make a little room upstairs for him so that when he comes through, which I find this very interesting, because when Jesus sent the disciples out, he said to them, you're going to find places where you're going to stay and people aren't going to charge you. They're just going to take you into their homes, you know? And really, this is an example of that very thing. This woman just said to her husband, I want to provide for this man of God. He's a holy man of God. I want to provide for him. And so let's do something. And so she said to her husband, let's put a small room upstairs and let's put a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp in there. And let's make it comfortable for him. Now, according to our day standards, that probably would not have been comfortable without a great big screen TV and whatever things, right? Or a recliner. But this was simple times. And so a bed, a table, a chair, a lamp. Hey, that's all they needed, you know? And we could talk about all those things individually, right? But we're not. Let's go on with this story. So it happened that the next time Elisha came by, he went to the room and he laid down for a nap. So she provided for the man of God. And he said to his servant, tell the Shunammite woman that I want to see her. See, he called her in and she came to him. And I really find this kind of cool that Elisha had a desire to pay her back. To say, what can I do for you for this kindness? You know, I don't know about you, Madeline, but I find that when somebody's been particularly kind to me or provided a meal or whatever, I want to do something in return,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely. Oh,
and
yeah.
Since I fed some of you today at lunch, then that means that what?
Mm-hmm. Cha-ching.
Yeah, all right.
Little brother.
No, but you know what I'm saying. You know, when you... don't you feel that way? If somebody's really...
Well, yeah, give what you want to receive and,
right.
and vice versa. I mean, usually when someone shows you a kindness, that you just have a desire naturally to they call what they say pay it forward, right?
Right, exactly.
You just want to bestow that kindness. And they say, and people do that, you know... they have days where I sometimes hear on the radio where they say we're gonna, you know, do an acts of kindness day. So everyone
oh, cool.
go out and, you know, do something, you know, kind for somebody, whether they know it or not, and then hopefully it's gonna just be like dominoes.
Random acts of kindness. Right. And I don't know about you, but that just blesses me when people do something like that, or somebody, you know, calls you up with a kind word or sends an email just thinking about you today, whatever. I don't know that we do enough of that, you know, mm-hmm. in our society. I think that we become so absorbed with our own lives that we kind of tend to forget. And I think the ultimate act of kindness is to pray and intercede for somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we need that. And you know that, Connie, from the counseling that you and I do at Beacon of Hope, how important it is to be involved in people's lives like that and help them through their difficult times.
And it makes it, being involved with them makes it easier to know sometimes what to pray for.
Exactly.
Or how to move in their counseling and, you know, what.
And to help them, yeah. And it's a joy to do that, mm-hmm. isn't it? We've been doing it for several years, many years. And to get involved in people's lives, but and at the level of prayer, I think is critical, and it's something I try to stress at Beacon of Hope a lot, is that when you wake up in the middle of the night with somebody's name or face in front of you, that instead of just rolling over and going back to sleep, what should we do, Madeline? I'm going to ask you.
We should pray for them.
You know, yeah.
If somebody gets put, you know, in your thoughts, there's probably a reason for that, especially when it's, you know, subconscious or unconscious if you're actually sleeping. Instead of going, what? How come I thought about that person? Just, you know, say, God, you put that face before me, so I ask you to take care of their needs. You know what their needs are.
Absolutely. And I think that if we were all more aware and more mindful, like this woman was, of this person, this anointed man of God, Elisha, she was very aware that, hey, he's on the road all the time. He needs a place to lay down and take a nap and rest. You know, isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really think that she was so aware. And as a result of that, then, God put it in Elisha's heart, what should we do for her? You know?
Well, when somebody does something nice for you, you do want to return the gesture.
Yeah.
And sometimes when people do things for you that you can't really, I mean, there's no way that you could ever pay them back.
Right.
You know, you're kind of at a loss. And I think sometimes people don't know what to do, so they don't do anything.
Right.
Instead of just doing a little something. And a lot of times it's just an acknowledgement or just a very small little thing that makes the biggest impact.
Just because we just recently came through Jeannie's funeral, but I have noticed at funerals that I've had many through the years in ministry and calling hours that so often people come to a funeral, a memorial, a calling hour, and they say, I don't know what to say. What should I say? I think people's just their presence there, don't you think,
mm-hmm.
means so much that they cared to come out of their busy schedule and come and show support. You know?
Well, people need that. You know, in a time of grief like that, you want to show your respect and your love for someone. You want to get with your community,
yes.
and other people who feel the same way as you. It's an important ritual that, you know, we share as humans. And it's something that, you know, I used to, as a younger person, a child, be scared
right.
of funerals. You don't want to be in the same room as, you know, maybe a person mm-hmm. that's not with us anymore, or in the case of a memorial service, just have to deal with the emotions. But, you know, as you get older, you realize it's a blessing because, number one, I had even said to you, I think, at the service, you know, I wish we didn't wait to tell people,
yes.
you know, all the wonderful things that we heard about Jeannie.
Oh,
you
yes.
know? I mean, we did tell her, but, you know, in a situation like that where you're hearing it for a long period of time, it just was, I was blessed by the things I heard that I didn't know about her, and I thought I knew a lot about her. And I heard some things that just, I mean, just touched me.
How she had affected so many mm-hmm. people's lives. And go ahead.
You know what was good about all that, though, too, was that she was such a good confidant.
Yes, she
you know,
was.
I mean, think of some of the things that were said
yeah.
by some people who really opened their hearts up.
Yes.
We never even knew any
right.
of that stuff.
Right.
But Jeannie just soaked it all in and kept it right inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And prayed about it and
yeah.
took it to God, mm-hmm. you know. But she was a safe haven. And I think that's really cool. And really, it kind of reminds me of this lady, the Shunammite, because she was very aware of other people's needs. There was, I wish now I had some of these messages on my phone still, but so many times Jeannie would call me and she'd say, I hope you're not working too hard now today, Pastor. I hope you're not too tired. I hope you got some rest today. You know, and mm-hmm. was really aware of how many hours I was working and all of that. And would leave me these messages, you know. But if you have a moment, could you call me, you know? You know what I'm saying? So I really think this Shunammite was very aware of the ministry demands on Elisha. And God put her in his life for a reason. Some of you out there in our listening audience, you are in your pastor's life for a reason. Or the people in ministry around you, maybe you need to be more aware of them. And maybe there are times that you need to be praying more, or providing a meal, or doing something of a blessing, you know, like she was doing for Elisha, which is really cool. And you say, what does this have to do with power, miracles, everything? So hang on, because it really does. So we see that the Elisha said, okay, what are we going to do for her? Because she's been blessing us so much. So he calls her in, and I'm in about verse 13, maybe, of 2 Kings 4. And Gehazi was the servant of Elisha, so he had Gehazi ask her, you know, what do we do for you? We want to do something nice for you. And do you have a request to bring to the king or to the commander of the army? And I find that fascinating that Gehazi and Elisha were aware and evidently on speaking terms with the king and the commander of the army. This is not somebody that didn't know. They obviously knew, because what can we do for you? We want to do something nice for you. Look what you've done for us. So she replied, nothing, nothing. I'm secure. I'm satisfied with my family. What does that say of this woman? What does that say of her?
She's contented.
She's contented.
She's a faithful woman of God, and she has what she needs, and she likes to serve people. She likes to take care of people. That's her. That's part of her contentment.
And we have some of those that are in our ministry that love to serve and clear the table. And
thank God. And also, I think it says that she kind of maybe had been looking for something else to do, and he gave her that thing to do.
Because it was her idea in the beginning to provide a place for the man of God, to provide a meal, and then it became, let's build him a little apartment so whenever he comes, we can take care of him. Yeah, it was like she put herself, that's a good point, she put herself in that position of being able to serve the prophet of God, you know, put herself right there and said, okay, God, what do you want to me to do so that I can bless the ministry that you have? So anyway, she says, no, that's fine. And, you know, one of my favorite verses is found in Philippians where Paul says, I've learned that in whatever circumstances I'm in, therein to be content. You know, and I really believe that a lot of people do not get into the gifts of the Spirit and move forward into God because they're so discontent with their lives. Do you want to comment on that? You're shaking your head. And by the way, listening audience, we don't plan all this. We let the Holy Spirit lead this. So Madeline has no clue, nor does Connie, how, where we're going with this, nor do I. So we're just going to see what God's got here. But don't you find that interesting?
I do, especially because in my life, I've always said, you know, people during different times in your life ask you, are you happy? Are you happy with your life? And I always say, I'm content because it's like you said, there's so many people that are discontent. I know people that have depression, that have various, you know, issues in their lives, and they're not, I don't see them as being content. And I feel grateful and blessed that I do have a basic level of contentment. Not that my life doesn't have its ups and downs like everyone's, but I pretty much feel content with my life. And I just, I feel that's a blessing.
Oh,
because
it is.
There's so much disease and discontentment out there. And it's, you have to I feel like it's natural for me, but I also am seeking it with God because I feel without him, just like I said before, the distractions, the chaos, the world events could really set you, you know, on a path that would be destructive for you.
Right.
So when you started mentioning that, it's reinforced every time. Thank you, God, that I'm feel contentment in my life. And certainly I want to seek more at times, and you know, I want other things, and it's not always smooth sailing, but 99.9% of the time,
wow, that's a huge percentage.
I feel really content.
Well, there's huge advantages to finding yourself like Paul, where you can say, you know, that I've found that no matter in what circumstance I'm in, therein to be content. Connie, you in the health profession, you see people all the time that are hurting, that are unhappy, that are discontented. You and I see it in counseling. We see people that are frustrated and hurting and whatever. And so often, don't you think that the devil uses that to keep people from growing in God when they are so in upheaval all the time?
Yeah, he keeps his thumb down on top of them in order to keep it under his kind of control, or keeping them, not necessarily his control, but he being able to keep them from their blessings.
Exactly.
And what they could be if he wasn't attacking them, or if they recognized the attack and was able to deal with it.
Well, and I really think this goes along with the issue that so many people have in this day and age, which is addictions, whether they be drugs or alcohol or gambling or
food
or whatever the addiction is. It's a replacement for that contentment. You know what I'm saying? We instead of realizing, hey, I'm in this situation right now, and I'm not that I'm not praying that God has an answer here, but God is doing something in my life. Graham Cook says, and you out there listening, if you have a piece of paper, you need to write this down. Graham Cook is an incredible teacher of the word. And he says this, and it's a very bold statement. You need the circumstances you're in right now. Now, that's huge. And when I first heard him say that, I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. You know, this is pretty tough. You know, you want to comment on that, Connie?
No, I think
no. And she goes on.
Huh? I It's true, I'm sure. But yeah. I don't like putting it out there.
You don't like putting it out there?
I don't like hearing that because it's the truth.
It is the truth. Yeah. And why don't we like hearing it, Madeline?
Well, because if your circumstances are difficult and uncomfortable, mm-hmm. nobody wants that. But I feel the opposite. Even though I don't like the uncomfortableness or the hurt or the pain of it, it gives me comfort because I know that's true. So if God is putting me or allowing
me
to experience a situation, even if it's feeling bad, I have to believe that it's okay because he's there in it. He's around it. He's going to bring me out of it to the right outcome, even if it's not the outcome that I want. So you're right. It feels yikes. I don't want to be here, but yay, because he's in control and it's all going to be okay.
And he won't give you more than you can handle.
Exactly.
It feels that way, but you can handle it.
Well, yesterday I was driving up to show a house up in Pasco County, and I was listening to one of Graham Cook's CDs, and he was saying, when you have these difficult moments, you need to start looking at them as a Yahoo moment. You know, like, Yahoo, I got a problem, you know? And it was cracking me up. I've heard him say this before, but it's kind of neat to understand that the difficult situations we have in our lives can become a Yahoo moment where we realize God's there in the midst of it, teaching us something. And honestly, in this situation here with the Shunammite, she was not complaining in any way. She was not saying, but Elisha, I have not been able to have a child, because the truth of this story is that she was married to an older man, older than she was, and they had never had any children. And I think a lot of people who want children would make that the thing that when Elisha said, what can I do for you? You know, I mean, they would have said, she would have complained, well, I wish I would have had a child. I would like to learn how to adopt or whatever the case may be. And instead, she just says, no, I'm okay, you know.
That's something.
I've learned in whatever circumstance I'm in, therein to be content. So let's go on about her. And she even says in about the end of verse 13, nothing. I'm secure and satisfied in my family, which is very interesting. Hmm. And she hadn't had a child. So Elisha conferred with his servant, and he says, there's got to be something we can do for her, but what? So Gehazi is the one who says she's never had a child, and her husband's an old man. And Elisha must have let that sit down on the inside of him a moment, you know, as so often God does with prophets of God when he's trying to do something and show a power gift is going to come forth from that. So often that suggestion is there, and then there's that kind of let it sit and simmer. You know, like you simmer a pot of something, you know, on the stove. You kind of, like that rice pilaf I made the other day. It had to kind of simmer after it, you know, did its thing for a while. And then it was like the water was absorbed and it was like, you know, it was perfect.
Became what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it became what it was supposed to be, which is, that's a good, interesting metaphor, isn't it? Rice pilaf. Interesting metaphor. You know, because what you do is you put the rice in and you put the water, and right then doesn't taste like rice pilaf. The rice is a little hard stuff and you can't, you know. But as the rice begins to absorb the water, and that's as we begin to absorb the water of the word, what happens? And then it simmers. It just sits there and kind of simmers on low heat, you know. Mm-hmm. Boy, do we have trouble dealing with the low heat of the simmer, don't we, in our lives? And yet, all that time, God's making us into beautiful rice pilaf. And that was the radio show for today. No, I'm teasing. But anyway,
now
I mean,
I'm hungry.
Now you're hungry. Now you want rice pilaf. Okay. So Elisha says, because he's let this simmer on the inside of us, and he goes, yeah, that's what we're going to do for her. And so I believe he went to God and he said, is this what you want to do, God? Do you want to give her a child? And God said, yeah, I'm going to give her a child. A year from now, I'm going to give her a little boy. So Elisha calls her in. Now, here's where faith really comes in. This is the gift of faith. So we're seeing the gifts of the Spirit moving right here. Okay? We're seeing the gift of faith. We're seeing the gift of the word of knowledge, both right here in this event. Because in the gift of faith, Elisha goes to God and says, what is it you want to do? God says, I want to give her a son in a year. And then Elisha has to have the faith to boldly say, you're going to have a son in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact is the word of knowledge. This is going to happen. God says you're going to have a child in a year. The faith part is Elisha taking hold of what God said, believing it, and speaking it out. That's pretty bold. You want to comment on that, Madeline? It's kind of scary, isn't it?
Scary.
Maybe scary is not the right word.
Well, it's just faith.
It's just faith.
It's just, I mean, it's just faith. And we've been talking about that in church, you know, words
yes.
are power.
Right.
You know, and it's so true that you have to speak how you want your life to be. You have to speak, you know, blessings over yourself, over people, because when you do the opposite, and I've been there,
and we all have.
And I have to purposefully think about it every day. You really can direct, you know, your life.
Absolutely.
Good or bad. And it's just faith. So I'm going to believe that what I say is going to bring me blessings. Again,
exactly.
It may not be what I want or think I want, but it's going to bring me the right outcome. And that's all it is. And
well, Solomon calls James calls the tongue. It's James in James chapter 1 as like the rudder on a boat. And like the rudder on my son's kayak is not working real well. And as a result of that, I don't want anybody to get in that kayak because there's something wrong with it. And it's not going to go correctly. It's going to tip that person over. Okay. The rudder of our life is our tongue. It really is. James says that. It's this is how you're directed. You know, you're directed. Do you have a comment on that, Con?
Well, I was just thinking about what Madeline was saying about blessings and
yeah.
You know, so many times you speak a word over people while we're praying over them.
Right.
And a lot of them don't remember the things that you've said.
Mm-hmm.
And so when things start happening, and then we mm-hmm. point out that, oh, yeah, she spoke that word over you.
Right.
I mean, that just, you know, ramps up their faith once.
Exactly.
It takes just one or two times of having those kind of experiences to get them.
Absolutely.
Bought in.
Right.
So, you know, or their faith to rise up
right.
enough.
And they begin to realize God's speaking. Mm-hmm. And this woman had a choice right here when Elisha said, here's what God says. A year from now, you're going to have a son. She could have said, that's impossible, you know, kind of laugh like Sarah did at the mm-hmm. tent door. It does not say that there's anything negative that came from her. And we're going to talk more about this Shunammite woman in just a moment. We got a great song by Josh Wilson, Before the Morning. Connie, what do you know about that song? I mean, does it do anything for you when you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
You put it on the
yeah.
show today, so.
Yeah. It just talks about how after trials and things that we're going through and
right.
what the purpose is. And that the dark is just before the morning.
Oh, then it must really fit in right perfectly here.
Imagine that.
Just imagine that. Which
and I did
is
all
what
this
God
on
did.
Friday.
On Friday before
yeah.
we knew what we were going to do today.
Thanks.
Before the Morning by Josh Wilson.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Or maybe there are things you can't see, and all those things are happening to bring a better ending. Someday, somehow, you'll see, you'll see. Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, don't know how you'll get there. So say a prayer and hold on, 'cause there's good for those who love God. But life is not a snapshot. It might take a little time, but you'll see the bigger picture. Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? you still got a reason to sing. 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. But would you dare, to believe?
Praise God, would you dare to believe? Boy, that fits perfectly in our discussion right now. And seriously, we talk about the songs a few days before the show, but we really don't have any clue how it's all going to turn out. Only God does, and that is perfect. Would you dare to believe? So this is what's going on. Elisha, we are in 2 Kings chapter 4, if you have your Bible. And this is a great story, and it shows the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation, even in the Old Testament days. And we see that Elisha heard from God and said to the woman, "You're going to have a son in about a year." Now, we just talked a moment before that song about the power of the tongue and how we can short circuit God's will. And this is super serious. And we've done many shows in 4 years over the importance of what comes out of our mouth. But I find it very interesting here that this woman did not argue, did not say a thing. All she said was, "Don't play games with me. Teasing me is just with such fantasies." And she conceived. That's all it says. You know, in other words, are you telling the truth? She was just basically saying, "Are you telling me the truth?" He must have reassured her, and that was the end of it. And it says a year later, as just Elisha had said, she had a son. Now we're in verse 18 of 2 Kings chapter 4, and the child grew up. And one day he went to his father, who was working in the harvest fields. And the child, we don't know how old he was. He could not have been that old, however, because the mother carries him, and so does the father. So he's not an adult. He's still, you know, maybe a preteen, maybe a middle school kid, maybe a third grader. I don't know, but he's not that old, okay? And he says, "My head, my head." In other words, he was complaining of intense pain. Could have been an aneurysm. Something happened. Could have been heat stroke. Heat stroke can kill somebody, can't it?
Sure.
So who knows
especially
exactly?
A child.
Especially a child. So he was working it in the field. So who knows? And the father ordered the servant to carry him to his mother. So he was, you know, not an adult, and the servant carried him to his mother. And the servant took him in his arms, carried him to his mother. He laid on her lap. So again, he could not have been that old until noon, and he died. That's in verse 20 of 2 Kings 4. The child died. Now, this is the child that God told the woman she was going to have. And she said, you know, "Don't play games with me. Are you really giving me a child? Is this really of God?" And so often, and I found it in my own life in ministry, that sometimes things in our lives or in our ministry get so bad that we feel that our vision is dying, that the very thing that God called us to do is dead, it's gone. Or maybe you feel emotionally that the things that you've been working for all your life in this downturn, economic downturn that so many of us have suffered through and still suffering through. A lot of people have lost their homes. Me being a realtor, I've seen this over and over again, sat at the kitchen table of so many people and explained to them what we're going to have to do to get them out of their house, short sale, foreclosure, etc. And seen some of them tear up and say things like, "You know, I've worked all my life for this house, and now I'm losing it," you know? And so often, life doesn't go the way we think it's going to go. Which one of you want to comment on that concept? Don't both rush at once.
Well, we're being polite.
You're being polite. All right. Connie?
Most of the time, when things don't work out, it was our plan, not God's plan.
Mm.
And he allowed us to go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
And he always gives us alternatives because we have our freedom to make choices. But he also is there to love us and take care of us and keep us safe during that travel. And he also when things end, it's not just an ending, there's a new beginning.
Absolutely. And that's hard to see, don't you think, at the time,
mm-hmm.
that when something is ending, that there might be good in that, you know, that there might be something brighter or something coming.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it said, Madeline, many times that good is the enemy of better, and better is the enemy of best, God's best for us. You know what I'm saying?
I think so. I mean, along those lines, I also think that, you know, I think we don't like change in general.
Oh,
change is scary. It's unknown.
Yeah.
It's all these things. But without it, you know, how would we get to another level, get to another good place? So,
yes.
You know, maybe if we're just going along and everything is just okay and fine, and, you know, we got to have some stir up, because it's not going to, you know, it's not going to get us more learning, more. It's not going to get us to turn to God. It's not going to get us to, you know, a higher level in our lives. And, you know, who is to say how long we're supposed to have things, especially things,
right?
You know, possessions and houses and cars and whatever, you know, we have in our lives. And who's to say that when we get that house, that's our house forever on
right.
earth?
Right, exactly.
Or these, you know, these toys and things that we own are ours for life. I mean, we look at things that way because, you know,
well,
you're
have you seen the bumper
day.
Sticker that says "He who dies with the most toys wins"? You know that,
yeah.
And that's really symbolic of our culture, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. So change really is good.
Yes, it is.
It's just scary and unknown, and we, you know, we don't like. We're not in a comfort level with that. But I, you know, I think we know it's for our good. It's like we said earlier. It may not feel good at the time, but if you can set your sights and speak
yes.
your words,
yes.
you know, positively, then it will turn out okay.
Well, we can't get to that next level because faith is progressive. That's really what I hear you saying. That we start with the basic salvation faith, which is that seed of faith. We talked about it the other night in Bible study, that mustard seed of faith, that we all start with that. But God wants to ramp it up for us. He wants to take us beyond that just little nugget of faith where we say, okay, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for me, and he's the resurrected and risen Lord. And we call it fire insurance,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people just stop there and don't want to go and grow. You know?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying,
well,
Connie?
Some people don't know either.
Exactly.
You know, I feel like I didn't know growing up in my faith.
Right.
You know, I just, you know, kind of was going along just like that. Just
right.
say, you know, say your prayers every night, the, you know, the ones you know, and go along. Don't really ask too many questions or don't, you know. There was no, I didn't have the information that I got later in life
right.
that showed me, okay, I have to seek God. I have to go after these things. I have
yes.
to speak my words.
Yes.
I have to, you know, I can talk to him every day and be persistent about what I want in my life and ask him for that and, you know, all of that good stuff. I mean, so I think people get stuck in, like you said,
totally.
Complacency of this is what I know, this is what I do.
Well, and it becomes a comfort zone, and we like to stay in our little comfort zone instead of grow. You had a comment
well,
to that.
Each kind of denomination of churches have their own beliefs in some of that area. And, I mean, they all believe that we need to have Jesus as our Savior that way. But, you know, and everybody knows how to get Jesus on the phone when,
right.
you know,
That's so, how you get Jesus on the phone? Okay.
And so, but,
all right. I'd run.
But yeah. But I think that there are several more denominations like ours who teach that you can have a relationship. You know, they know where Jesus lives. These other ones know where Jesus lives and how to contact him, but they don't know anything about him.
Right. It's that relationship that's missing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the difference
right.
between the 30, 60, and 100.
It really is. And when we look at this lady and we see that now she's forced into a situation where her child has died. Now, how is she going to react to this death? You know, what is she going to do? And I find it fascinating that obviously she's got a relationship with God. Because mm-hmm. from the very beginning of the story, she was sensitive to God and knowing that this was a man of God. Elisha,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that she had a part to play in this guy's life. you know, and that she was to be a part of his daily care when he came through her town. I mean, she was sensitive to God. I think this is really cool. So when her child dies, instead of doing the natural thing that most people would do, and that is just go into hysterical crying and grieving, she does something very drastic. And I think so often we take the easy way out, and that is instead of pressing in to find out what God wants done in the situation, we go back and resort to our natural human tendencies of just handling it the way we always did. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, yeah, I think you're right there. We do what we do, what
right.
we know. This okay, somebody has died. Now we just go through the rituals, we go through the emotions, that's an unusual situation. I'm not going to say certainly with people, you know,
yeah,
in my family that have passed away,
right.
you're going to
no.
maybe act the way she did.
But let's say lose a job. Let's take it to something like that. Or
right, you can be bitter about it.
Right.
You can be
yeah.
defeated.
Right.
You can go maybe try to collect unemployment versus seeking a new job. You can let yourself, you know, really be down about it.
Exactly.
Instead of saying, okay, you know, what's the reality of my situation? I'm going to, you know, maybe I have to sit with a pen and paper and crunch some numbers.
Sure.
But my attitude's going to have to be, I think, not that it's easy. This is not easy stuff.
No.
But with, you know, with faith and with God, you say, I have to believe there's
right.
something better for me.
Right.
You know, because God doesn't want me to be poor and not able to pay my bills and all these things. He wants me to now get into a better situation than I was before. So it may take a long time. It may be hard waiting for that situation. No one's, you know, I don't think, okay, just pray and rah-rah, everything is going to be hunky-dory.
But it will eventually. If you can,
you know, have your faith through it, I believe that there's going to be something better. But, of course, you know, you're going to have to live through it.
You have to live through it. Again, Graham Cook says that so often God could prevent with his power something that he does allow in our lives with his wisdom. I think I said it backwards. God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power.
His power, yeah. I like that.
I like that a lot because that shows us that God is seeing the whole picture. He's seeing the big picture. We're seeing our little segment of the picture, and we so often start bellyaching so soon in the midst of the little picture that we see that we are not, we kind of tie God's hands, you know? And by our own, the junk that comes out of our mouth, our sour attitude, our complaining, our being mad at God, let's say, not forgiving God, whatever, and blaming stuff on God that he didn't do. You know, Connie, do you have a comment about all that?
I just lost my thought.
Okay.
I had.
But you did have a comment.
So the answer was yes, really.
It was yes,
yes,
right. Okay. All right. But, you know, in the midst, she never ceases to amaze me. In the midst of these difficult storms and battles of our life, God does have answers.
Yes.
We've got to get to the point where we find them and where we are seeking those answers.
And that we're being patient through the situation. You have to be patient in order to get to the answer.
You do. You have to be patient.
It's like eating the whole box of Cracker Jacks to get to the prize instead of dumping them out and getting the
right.
prize first.
There you go. Okay. And that joyful persistence comes in, and we're going to talk about that as we go into the next hour. We're going to come up on the hour in just a minute and do our station identification. But before that, we want to remind you that you're welcome, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, to join us for service. We are in Clearwater, easy to find, right off of 275 on Almerton, 3700 Almerton, next door to the International Golden Diamond Source, where you see on TV all the time.
Just gave them a plug.
Yeah, just gave them a plug.
We need to send them a bill.
Right, I know. We're next door to them. 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, Florida. We welcome you. We have a new time. It is now 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings instead of 11. We were 11 for a while. We started out at 10 for years. 2 years and then went to 11 to accommodate some people who had a hard time getting up. And now we just go ahead back to the 10 o'clock and pray that they get up. What can we say? So 10 o'clock Sunday morning and Bible study Wednesday night at 7. And as soon as we do station ID, I want you two to talk about what happens on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are glad you're with us. Connie Farmer's to my right. Madeline Ercolano over here to my left. And our little guest right here, little Sammy Samster, has come today to be on the show. And a little Pomeranian friend of mine. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister.
Hi,
so we're glad you're joined us today. Now, what happens on Wednesday night? Sunday morning is a traditional service, but it's not a traditional according to a lot of churches, Connie. Why do you say that, and why are you laughing?
Well, first of all, we don't print any bulletins because
we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
right?
We don't know how it's going to go.
Right.
We just know we're going to sing some, and then... at some point, we're going home.
Yeah, at some point. The in-between.
Whatever happens in between is up to God.
It's Holy Spirit-led.
Yep.
And so that's kind of exciting. And
it freaks some people out, though.
It is.
Yeah,
and we don't have a bulletin or an order of service, but that is intentional. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a clock hanging in the church either. So, Madeline, what happens? That's on Sunday morning, and then
the
radio show.
We
really could, because we have no clock. And then we have Wednesday nights. What happens on Wednesday night, and do you enjoy it?
Food, fun, and fellowship.
There you go. All right.
That's right.
Usually we're munching, and we're
bringing your dinner
to hear teaching from you or maybe Pastor Jim, and we're participating, and it's interesting time of learning. It has been for me because it's been my first Bible study ever at Beacon, and I'm definitely learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fun. It's relaxed. We set up tables. We had to set up a whole lot more today after Sunday morning service for this Wednesday night because we have been filling up, which is a great thing. But we will find a place for you. So you're welcome on Wednesday nights at 7. And we have prayer meeting first. And what do we do in prayer meeting, Connie?
We use the Prayers That Avail Much by Jermaine Copeland, and we read some prayers out of there, and because we believe that praying the Word is what gets the response.
Absolutely.
Gets what we want, what we're praying for.
Gets the answers.
Then we also take requests, prayer requests, and praise reports, and then we pray, and then usually end up in just about time for the Bible study to start.
What's so important about praise reports, and what are they?
Praise reports, we talk about the answers to the prayers, and a lot of times they're answers to prayers that we've had requests for on the prayer line. Some people have other prayer requests, which is no big deal. It's great. It's fantastic to hear all of them. But the purpose of praise reports.
All right.
Is so that we can see and hear that God answers prayers.
Yes.
And then it raises people's faith.
Oh, it sure does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, and if you have a prayer request out there, we invite you to use our 24/7, 365 prayer line by email. And it's simply, the address is
prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Pretty easy. Yeah, .com. And if you write a prayer request, what's going to happen, Connie?
Well, there are 3 or 4 or 5 people who get the request. So if the main people, Deb and Alice, don't get the request right away, I don't know what time frame we use, but then
just a couple hours. It's done pretty quickly.
Yeah, if the prayer doesn't get out within a couple hours, then somebody else picks it up and sends it out.
Right. And we write a prayer. And do you like that, Madeline, to have the prayer right there on the prayer request?
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's, more power of a prayer. So the more people that are praying for you and your situation, it's just a blessing. It's, I mean, not that you need it. You know, you don't. You can do it yourself. You and your friend. But, you know, it's nice to know that you have people praying for you. It makes you feel like, you know, hey, it's going to work.
It's going to work.
It just builds faith.
And our prayer team is represented by a lot of different states, people in different states around the United States. We get requests from other countries. You can use that prayer line anytime, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. So we invite you to do that. Today on Living the Good Life, we're talking about miracles, and we're talking about 2 Kings chapter 4, if you're just now joining us. Maybe you can find that in your Bible. One of my favorite songs is a Ray Bolt song, and here it is, Here Comes a Miracle.
They followed him on dusty roads, wherever he would lead. Multitudes would gather as he healed each disease. With eyes of wonder, they would watch as he would stop to pray. And when he spoke the word of faith, you could hear them say, here comes a miracle, here comes a miracle. Had been bound for years, were suddenly set free. They came in desperation, the hurting and the poor. When they saw him through the crowd, they knew what was in store. Here comes a comes a miracle. Can't you feel it in the air? That look is on his face. His glory is in this place. And I know a miracle is nothing is impossible. What he says, he will do. And though this world may doubt us, and though they laugh and stare, someday all men will see the truth when we see him in the air.
Audience, here comes your miracle.
I know a miracle. Here comes
Praise God. God wants to do a miracle in you, just like he did for this lady in 2 Kings chapter 4. If you just tuned in, you can kind of catch up with the rest of the show on our website. We always have our shows on our website by the next afternoon. So sometime tomorrow afternoon, you'll be able to catch this show, beaconofhopeministries.com, if you missed the first hour. We are talking about the woman who conceived, had a child late in life, and then her son died. And now she has faced with a situation of what is she going to do? And in verse 21 of 2 Kings chapter 4, she took the child and laid him on the bed of the man of God. And she shut him in alone and left. And I love that, because the woman recognized the power and the anointing of Almighty God through Elisha the prophet. And so she took the child and laid him on the prophet's bed in her home, that she had created this special area for the prophet to rest every time he came through town. And then she called her husband and she says, get me a donkey. And I am going to the holy man, meaning Elisha. She had to run to that anointing. Dear one, some of you out there need to be running to the anointing of God. Instead of running away from it, you need to be running to it. And the anointing is the presence of God that absolutely changes your life and works miracles. That we just had that song, the miracle working power of God in your life, that breaks the issues, the yokes, the junk that we have allowed ourselves to get ourselves into so often. And so this woman recognized the power and the anointing upon Elisha. And so she said to her husband, get me a donkey. And he said, but why? Why go today? This isn't a new moon or a Sabbath or anything like that. And she said, don't ask questions. I love it. Isn't that interesting how she kind of did that?
First woman's liber. The first woman's liber.
Yeah, this was against their traditions, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. For her to be that bold with her husband. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she says, I need a donkey right now, right now. And she took a servant. And Madeline, what did she say in 24 and 25? I like that, where she says, that tells the servant, you know, don't worry about me. Just ride as fast as you can go. I think it's great. I mean, she was just like in a
hurry.
That's faith.
That's
faith.
That's just total faith. She just knows what she has to do. She laid her son there. She's going to get Elisha, and we're going to fix this.
We're going to fix this problem.
That's it. She has no doubt.
That's the gift of faith that just welled up within her. Mm-hmm. I love this. And she just says, we're going, and doesn't matter how fast you ride that donkey, I'm going to keep up with you.
Well, you know, she said to him in the beginning, when he said she was going to have a son, don't be messing with me now.
That's right. She
you
did
know, tell
him
that. Don't joke with me.
Yeah.
So in a way, she kind of felt like, hey, man, this is your job here.
Yeah.
You know, because you said.
Yeah.
And that sometimes is the way
exactly
that we need to approach God.
Exactly.
With, you know,
that boldness.
With the boldness. If things are not working out the way he said, or, you know, that they should or they would, then we need to say, you know, God, you said.
Absolutely.
You said
we need to remind him of his word.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Because, and that goes to Isaiah 55:11, where that verse says, no word of God returns to him void without accomplishing what it said it was going to do. And, I mean, in other words, she understood she was getting a son, but she was getting a son for life, not to have him die in a short time. So she really did make a bold step of faith. Number one, it was against the customs for her to even take off like that and not tell her husband where she was going, and to take the donkey and tell the servant, ride as fast as you can. I mean, that wasn't real feminine looking, quote unquote, you know. But I mean, she took off, and now she finds out that Elisha's on Mount Carmel. That was a place where he would go and he would meet with God. So that's where Elisha was. So maybe it wasn't too hard to figure out that's where he was. Okay. Now, Elisha and his servant saw her coming. And so Elisha sent his servant on down to meet her. And he said, ask her, is there something wrong? Are you all right? Is your husband okay? Is your child okay? Now, I love her response. And in the King James, her response is, it is well with my soul. That is her response, which is interesting. In the Message Bible, she just says, everything's fine. Whoa. Was everything really fine, Madeline?
That sounds like Jeannie.
Doesn't it? Jeannie was always doing that, wasn't she? When you say, how you feeling? Oh, I'm okay. Yeah. I'm all right. I'm okay. You know, just everything's fine.
Well, it's just more faith. I mean, she knew everything was going to be fine.
Right.
She knew she was where she had to be. She was going to, you know, tell him that what was going on and
right.
that, you know, and everything was going to just turn out fine.
Yeah.
She had no doubt.
So that was faith. I mean, that is real faith working right there. Everything's fine. Everything's good. Okay. And so when she reached the holy man, she threw herself, and that's Elisha, at his feet and held tightly to him. And here comes the servant trying to pull her away from his master, Elisha. And Elisha says, wait a minute, leave her alone. I'm in verse, what am I in? In about verse 27, 28. And Elisha was not told. This is interesting because Elisha did move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And yet in this case, he was not told what the problem was. And so he allows her to tell him, and all she says was, did I ask for a son? Didn't I tell you? Don't tease me with false hopes. This goes back with what do you make of that, Connie? I find that really interesting.
It's just what I was saying. You don't, you know, don't be telling me you're going to do something and don't fulfill the whole thing.
And that's okay to do with God, is it not?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And some of you out there need to take the bull by the horns in your situation and go to God and say, wait a minute, God, you said in your word, you're going to provide for me financially, let's say. And here's the verses that you said. I do this. Believe mm-hmm. me, I do this. Mm-hmm. And here's the verses, God, that you said about my financial condition. And I'm reminding you of what you said. Now, don't be messing with me. And, you know, and God says, ooh, they're speaking my word. His ear is so attentive to when he hears the word of God spoken to him. And so it's like Elisha here with her. And Elisha immediately jumps into action right here. And God does the same thing. God answers when we call. And what are you reading there, Connie?
You know what? She never told him that something was wrong with her son. She just said, did I ask for a son, master? Didn't I tell you don't tease me with false hopes?
Right, yeah.
And, like, immediately he sent Gehazi to and said, don't lose a minute. Grab my staff and run as fast as you can.
She didn't say her son was dead, did she?
No, she didn't say anything was wrong with him.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. If you meet anyone, don't even take time to greet him. And if anyone greets you, don't even answer.
So by now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to Elisha and saying, it's the son. Go. Mm-hmm. You know, he knew. It was an awareness. But you're right. He did not. God did not let him in originally on this. But it's interesting timing, God's timing, because it allows her an opportunity right there. When Elisha says, I don't know what's going on with her. I can't figure it out. Yet, and so she has an opportunity to say something. And instead of complaining and being negative and getting all mad and upset at the man of God, she just says, didn't I tell you not to get my hopes up? Madeline, comment on that. Don't you find this interesting, her response?
It is interesting because I don't think it's the response that most people would have.
I agree with you.
You know, she shows up. He knows something's up because she's there.
Right.
And she's not.
It has to be desperate.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's not acting like there's a tragedy. She's not acting like, you know, she's not hysterical. She's just letting him know, hey, remember you told me this? And I was, you know, I wanted to know if this was for real. And she just had faith.
Faith.
Crazy faith. That
yes.
is unbelievable. And, you know, that's what builds other. I mean, that gives me more faith because
yes.
I'm like, could you imagine reacting like that in a situation?
No.
You know, we usually go to God when we're, you know, when a tragedy happens.
Right.
In hysterics.
Ah.
How can this happen? God, why? Give me, you know, we have the doubting, you know, behavior. And she's just, hey, I'm here. Let's go. Come on. Let's take care of this.
Exactly right. And she's not sitting here and going, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead. She's not declaring the obvious.
Mm.
And it's interesting because we so often do.
Mm-hmm.
We declare, you know, and we bellyache. I mean, that's our human tendency, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. And instead, she's just like, go ahead, Con.
Well, the only thing, I mean, you can tell something's wrong because she's holding on to him for dear life.
Right.
And sometimes you just can't say anything.
Right.
In those kind of situations, you just hold on. And, but then when she says, didn't I tell you not to mess with me? Don't.
Yeah. Right. And then Elisha immediately just sends his servant on ahead mm-hmm. and says, go. And here's what I want you to do. Take your staff and put it on the face of the child. So he knew by now the Holy Spirit had revealed to him there's something wrong with the boy. And so the staff and Psalm 23:4 says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Mm-hmm. The rod is always indicative. It's a metaphor for the Word of God. God's Word comforts us. And staff is always a metaphor for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit working in us. So what's going to bring comfort? And how prophetic is that? Because Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's the comforter. He's the ultimate comforter. So whatever you're going through out there listening audience today, you need the staff of God, which is the Holy Spirit being your comforter. And your counselor and helping you through that situation. So what did he do? He sent his servant on ahead. And I kind of picture Elisha just not riding his donkey as fast as the woman did, you know. And eventually he gets to the house. And I'm in verse 32. And he finds the boy stretched out on the bed, dead. He finds him on the bed,
dead.
Deader mm-hmm. than he was earlier, mm-hmm. right? Because yeah. it's been now probably a couple days. I don't know. Could have been just one day, but, you know, it was probably...
He probably wasn't right down the road.
It's hard to say. At any rate, he's deader than he was earlier, mm-hmm. correct? So he goes into the room and he locks the door. What's the significance of that, Madeline? What do you see there? Locking that door.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Why would he lock the door? Is it to because he needed to be alone with him?
I think he needed to hear from God, and I think he needed to keep out all hysterics, all lack of faith, all dumb. Comments of, oh, he is really, hey, he's really dead, you know?
No, he's,
he's really dead.
I agree with that. He wanted to be alone with God and just, you know, take care of the situation and have to hear from him. And you're right. He had to have that private time.
He had to have that private time. Mm. We're going to talk about that on the other side of this song, which is a great song by Cutlass. What faith can do goes together perfectly with where we are right now.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger than you know. Don't you give up now, the sun will soon be shining.
Broken doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water, but it'll be alright. Life's so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep.
What a great song. That is What Can Faith, or What
Rocking Out
Faith Can Do by mm-hmm. Cutlass. And I just love that. And again, Connie, that song was perfect for where we are right now in this story in 2 Kings chapter 4. What can faith do? Faith can move mountains, Jesus said. He said, speak to the mountain in Mark 11:23-25. He said, speak to that mountain in your life and believe God that you can see that mountain moved out of your situation. And some of you out there in our listening audience, you need to believe God for healing for your body right now. Mm-hmm. You need to believe God for a healing of cancer, perhaps, or maybe extreme back pain or an injury or something going on in your life. You need to believe God. This woman believed that God was going to move in her situation. That's why she got on the donkey. If she didn't believe it, Madeline, what would she have done instead of get on that donkey?
She would just have stayed probably in her house and carried on and cried and, you know,
had a funeral.
To everyone who would listen and, do what we do, our rituals. And, you know, she wouldn't have had that unbelievable faith. That is,
doesn't this bless you to know about her? We don't know her name. I laughingly called her Abigail today, but we don't know her name. We just know her as the Shunammite woman. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we know that this woman, and that's kind of cool too, that we really don't even know a name for her, you know, but yet this lady existed and she was, her story was a big part of one of the 32 miracles that Elisha performed. Mm-hmm. And this is a miracle of raising a person from the dead. And, oops, all right, Sammy had to comment on that. So y'all heard her comment on there. There we go. Now, so here we are. And Gehazi arrives and he couldn't do anything about the dead boy. So Elisha the prophet, the man of God, does arrive and finds the boy stretched out on his own bed, dead. On Elisha's bed, dead. Okay? So he goes into the room and he locks the door. And we were talking about this right before we played that song. And I do think it's important that when we are in the midst of crisis and in the midst of serious circumstances in our life, that we set aside quiet time with God to get the heart of God on the matter. You want to comment on that, Madeline? Because, I mean, I have seen this in my own life. Chaos versus peace, you know, type thing.
I think, well, certainly during, you know, the death of a loved one, I mean, I think you kind of do sometimes get that time. I mean, you're caught up in the events that are going on after, but I know I've always found a lot of time with God during, you know, after someone's passed away, because you're processing. I mean, you're trying to make sense of things, because right. certainly you're feeling a loss. And even though you have faith in God and you know that they're in a better place, it's you're dealing with a crisis within yourself,
right.
loss, which is in great pain. And I think that for me certainly makes me go to God more, because I need you to help me through this.
Exactly.
I need you to, even though I have faith in you and I believe, I've got a little bit of crisis going on here, because, you know, I'm hurting from the loss.
Right.
And for me, that's a lot of quiet time and within myself, whether it's
exactly.
literally in a room by myself. I may have to do it while I'm, you know, in the midst of all the goings on. But
in the middle of the night, you wake up and you're mm-hmm. you're in that place with God. For some of you out there, it may not be a death that you're dealing with. Maybe it is a job loss or a change in your life that's huge. Maybe your relationship that you've been in for a long time is broken up. Maybe something has happened in your life that causes you a lot of pain. And let's take a lesson from this right here, because instead of speaking negatively, which this woman could have done, instead of that, she simply goes to the man of God who she knows has the direct line. She goes to the anointing, you know, the presence of God. And we can do that on a daily basis. Go ahead and comment on that.
Well, I was just going to say, in the Old Testament, they had to go through somebody mm-hmm. to
yes,
talk to
they
God.
Did.
They couldn't
right.
just, they didn't know that they could just cry out to God.
Right.
Like we do.
Right.
Like we know. And so nowadays, when that kind of thing happens, we just go to God. And also, you can have somebody agree with you
right.
in prayer, or send a prayer request to the prayer team.
Sure.
Because there's a big group of people that'll agree with you.
Absolutely.
That way.
And the importance, I think, here of what we're saying is that this woman understood the power of keeping her mouth shut and not saying negative stuff that was going to hurt her miracle.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because we can short circuit our miracle with our own negativity in our own mouth. Don't you think, Madeline?
Oh, yeah, I know. I've sabotaged things in my life.
That's the word. I don't mean short circuit. Sabotage.
More times than I care to
you
admit.
You want to explain that concept of how we do that?
Well, I'm imagining that it's letting, you know, you're in a bad circumstance, whatever it is, like you said, some kind of a loss in your life, a job, a relationship, you know, a person. And, you know, that's perfect time for the devil to come in there and just say,
yes.
see what you caused, see what you did. Now what are you going to do? You know, it's never going to be the same. And all of that negative thinking, the stories we tell ourselves,
yes.
the tapes that we play. And, you know, it's really, I guarantee you, it will get worse with that talk. You are going to sabotage yourself. And that's what, you know, that's right for me now, again, back to being purposeful. I am now purposefully making sure that I don't do that, because I've gotten, you know, engaged with that, and it's to my own demise.
It is. I love that word you're using right here, purposeful. In fact, it reminds me of somebody in our congregation that sent me an email today or yesterday that she had picked up a copy of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, which is mm-hmm. a very good book. It's an older book. It's been around a long time. But she said she's starting to work through it. And that's a great book for doing that very thing, for becoming very purposeful. And can you define what that means in your life? Because we've seen it here in the Shunammite's life. We understand purpose here, what she did. You know?
Well, it's staying, number one, it's staying in the Word every day, because without, you know, the kind of, you know, guidance
yes.
that you seek for your day, like I said, the distractions. If I don't do it every day,
right.
I see myself getting off course. And I just said to God this morning, I said, thank you for a new day,
yes.
a fresh start.
Because,
yes. you know, maybe yesterday I messed up, or whatever you want to say
sure,
to yourself.
Absolutely.
But I don't like to say that either, because it's okay that we don't do everything perfectly every day, which
absolutely.
Is impossible
it's okay.
anyway.
Right.
But I'm grateful that every day is a new day to start again and, you know, start fresh and
yeah.
you know, just
yeah.
just be purposeful the way you want. Follow whatever it is. Get in the Word and make sure that you're, you know, letting it get on the inside of you, so that you know how to live your life and you know how to go forward every day, because we forget. We're just human.
Yeah.
Right, and when we make a mistake, I think it's important to just do the next right thing
mm-hmm.
instead of beating yourself up and you're such a jerk and all that yuck stuff.
Right.
And just say, okay, yes, I screwed up. Move on.
Right.
Next, what's the next thing I can do that's right?
Right. And that's exactly the importance. And I really think here Elisha understood the power of spending time with God without everybody's opinion coming in. You know what I'm saying? He locked the door and he shut everybody out. Now, you know, by now the husband's found out the boy is dead on the prophet's bed. The Gehazi's down there. The mama's there. There's got to be other family and relatives and whatever coming in. And what did Elisha do? He just locked the door and said, okay, God, what are we going to do about this? And guys, that is huge. And I have been doing that in my life, and it works. When I get to that point where, honestly, I don't know what to do in a given situation. I don't know how God's going to straighten this mess out, you know. But I do know that he does have an answer. And when I get myself quiet and shut my own mouth and shut the door to the distractions that would pull me in every direction and keep me out of finding that perfect will of God in my situation and knowing how to pray. The joyful persistence. This is really good right here, because we don't know how long this went on in the upper room before the result happened, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But the joyful persistence, this has been something, that concept that's changing your life.
Mm-hmm.
You want to comment on that, Madeline?
Yeah, since I've been listening to that Graham Cook CD, Seeking the Lord, that just it just awakened something in me. I like the thought of being able to focus on that. I like the thought of, you know, okay, so my circumstances may be ugly today, and I'm not happy with the way things are going, but I'm gonna make sure that I still go to God and say, okay, God, here's the deal. Like, you don't know. Of course he knows. But here's what I'm feeling.
But still, he wants us to tell him.
Right. And this is what I want. This is what I want to happen. And I'm gonna say, you know, I'm gonna just lay it out how I want it. Now, it may not end up that way, but, you know, this is how I see my circumstances and the way I want them to go. And I'm just gonna be honest with him.
Absolutely.
And just say everything that I'm thinking and feeling. And, you know, and that's, you know, communing with God, and we're having that time together. I know he wants me to do this, and I have to say that, you know, I think I've been listening to this for maybe about a month and a half now.
The same CD. And there such power in that? I think we can. Mm-hmm. Our audience can actually go to iTunes and download that one, right?
Yes.
Seeking the Lord by Graham Cook. Or not?
That was one that you gave me.
Oh, then it's not
so
on
maybe
iTunes.
Not,
maybe
I'm not sure
not.
If it's on iTunes, on there.
But you can go
there
to his. His website, which I don't know offhand.
GrahamCook.com.
And you can download it there. And it's, I feel like it's made huge changes in me just in the last few weeks. Huge. Just in my attitude.
Okay.
You know, and things are changing and things are getting better because.
And you're just joyfully persisting in your prayer.
I might be crying, but I'm saying, thank you, God. Thank you for what I can't see right now. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Even though I'm in pain right now.
Amen.
I believe that it's all going to be okay.
Well, and don't you think that Elisha, he's in this room, and God tells him to lay down by the boy, and then he tells him to do something very strange. Lay on top of this boy. Put his mouth to his mouth, put his eyes to his eyes, put his hands on his hands. Strange. God so often does strange things because he takes it out of the realm of what we would think you would do. You know, we would think Elisha should just stand by the bed and yell, get up, you know. But that's not what happened here. Connie, what is your comment on that? I can see your wheels turning as you hold a sleeping baby dog.
Well, I was thinking about today when you were talking about this and how you said that's how the Holy Spirit is with us, mouth to mouth, hand to hand, heart to heart, face to face, you know, just a mirror, kind of a mirror image.
Yeah.
And that he wants to be that close and that involved in our lives.
Yes.
So.
Kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, and kind of in this situation, Elisha is kind of a Holy Spirit type
Yes. A metaphor for the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Making direct contact with us. Mouth to mouth, eye to eye. You know, when you're looking at somebody directly in the eye, eye to eye, you can read a lot in people's eyes, right? I mean, you really can. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on here. And so now the boy's body becomes warm. I love it. And then Elisha gets up and paces back and forth in the room. Boy, I've done that a lot with God. And then he goes back and does this again, and he stretches himself out on the boy again. And then the boy starts to sneeze, and he sneezes 7 times. I love that, because that's God's number. And the original Hebrew, the word for sneeze there, means to diffuse or scatter. That's what it means, okay? And so, yes, it was a sneeze, but the word meant he diffused. Think about a sneeze, you know, and that's why you spray everywhere. You want somebody to sneeze into their shirt, you know, sleeve, right?
Yeah.
And so what was going on here is that death was scattering. You know, death was leaving. It was going. And as the sneezing was going on, the death was leaving this boy. And he was becoming less dead and less dead. Instead of deader and deader, he was becoming less dead and less dead. And as a result of that, he became alive. He was raised from the dead, and he opened his eyes. And they shouted, "Get the Shunammite woman in here." He called her. She came in. Elisha said, "Embrace your son." And she embraced her son, went out with him. I mean, the kid was up walking. There was no recovery time. He was raised from the dead. That's a miracle. Listen mm-hmm. to this song, and then we're going to talk more about how this affects your life on a daily basis. Another song by Cutlass, and we love them, and it is "Everything I Need." Wow. That is really good. You are everything I need. You are strength for my weakness. And I tell you, this little boy, when he was dead for whatever amount of time that he was dead, was rather weak. Wouldn't you agree? Death renders you weak and inactive. And a lot of us have death working in our lives in the form of a, let's say, a bad a doctor's report. Somebody came up for prayer this morning that was told this week that they had less than 5 years to live. And this person is not that old. And she happens
to
have
a liar.
Yeah, she happens to have a lot of physical issues. But we are reaching out and believing God for the miracle for mm-hmm. her. And for some of you out there, this miracle story that happened to this woman's little boy is not out of the realm of possibility for each of us in the areas of our lives where we feel like death is operating. Death can be operating in your finances. It can be that every time you get, it seems like every time you get a paycheck, it just flies away, you know? Death can operate in relationships where it just seems like every time you meet somebody or get close to somebody, something happens to destroy that relationship. Death can happen in job situations where, or family situations where you never seem to say the right thing and there's always problems and always trouble, you know? God wants us to live in the realm of the miraculous and to believe God for miracles in our daily life. And the story of the Shunammite reminds us that, A, she kept her mouth shut and didn't say a lot of negative things. Let's start with A right there. Madeline, what do you think on that? I mean, does this speak to your heart? Because it does to mine.
Well, I mean, she's the perfect example. I mean, she's the example that I would use to tell to talk with other people because she lived it. I mean, there it was. Her situation was as dire as you can get. You know, the death of a child.
Right.
And seemingly she didn't flinch. She believed. She persisted her whole life. She just lived that way. And there it is. That, I mean, that's the proof. It's that simple. You know, again, I'm not going to say that in, you know, somebody has a child die. You know, we're going to act the same way. But we can live our lives that way.
Positively.
And we can see it be better than it was before.
Exactly.
I believe that with my whole heart.
Oh, I totally agree. You have a comment on that, Connie?
Well, I was just going to say the difference between better and bitter is the I.
Mm-hmm. It really is. That's mm-hmm. And that's a good thing to remember because so often we do allow the bitterness to set in
mm-hmm.
instead of the betterness.
Right.
And we choose that path of being mad at God and being mad at our circumstances and mad at other people. And instead of saying, okay, what can I do differently here to bring about the result here that is needed? You know, how can I believe God for my miracle? And it has so much to do with our attitude, don't you think? I mean,
well, being what is, I mean, when you think about it, when I think about the times where I've stayed mad in a situation,
mm-hmm.
I've decided this was, you know, I didn't deserve this and it's this person's fault and that's person's fault. I'm the only one feeling the anger. No one else is.
They don't even know.
Right. In most cases, they probably don't know.
Yeah.
I'm the one suffering. But when I let it go and turn it over to God and believe for a good outcome, it's that weight is lifted off your shoulders. So it's just it's a decision, not easy. Again, I'll always say it's not easy to let go of anger and bitterness sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, does it feel good when you do.
Absolutely. And forgive.
Absolutely.
Forgiveness is meaning that you don't make that person pay you back and owe you. They no longer owe you. You let it go.
Well, and they can't really. They can't fix it
mm-hmm.
because it's done. It's past.
Right.
And you have to just move on from
right.
it. But so many people hold on to that and hold on to that feeling of hatred almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Of that person for what they've done. And that person's going on with their life. It's not affecting them at all.
And what it does really to that person that feels that way is to, it sabotage. That's the word again.
Mm-hmm.
It sabotages the miracles from happening. Mm-hmm. And this woman did not say, Elisha, I'm so mad at you. I'm so disgusted with you. My child is dead. She didn't even say any of that negative stuff. She just said, you know, I need help, you know,
mm-hmm.
and really allowed him to do what he did, Elisha, by going in her house, shutting the door with her dead son and allowed that without breaking the door down and with crying and screaming or whatever. So the whole lesson here is that God is working in our circumstances so often when we don't see it, and he's expecting us to ramp up our praise, our persistence into really believing God for the miracle and praising God before we see the answer. And I know that's hard for a lot of people. Have you found it to be a blessing in your life, Connie, to praise God and thank him for the answer before you ever see it?
Yes, absolutely. Just the praising part helps get you through.
Yeah.
And you know, unfortunately, God's timing's not our timing.
Mm-hmm.
And we want every, you know, we're a microwave society. We want everything
right.
Yesterday.
Right.
Or 2 seconds ago. And so a lot of times I think he lets us wait to help us appreciate the situation more.
Yeah.
But if you're already praising him for the answer that you know he's going to give you, then, you know, it's just all the more better.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Woo. What do you think on that?
I was thinking that when you are feeling your worst, whether it's physically or emotionally, it brought me back to Jeannie again.
Mm-hmm.
She was at the worst we'd ever seen her.
Right.
And when we started singing, she started singing.
Oh,
that,
I know.
To me, was unbelievable.
She was dying. She was. They had stopped dialysis. She was dying.
Yes. That, you know, the will that you have inside, the love that you have for God, how it feels good to praise him. That boggled my mind.
And that day in Dunedin Hospital, after they had taken her, told her no more dialysis and that she didn't have long to live. They didn't say how long, but she willingly accepted that decision, knowing that there wasn't anything else medically for her. But you're right. I remember we were all standing around and singing. And then as we went to hospice, that same thing continued over the next few days before she went to be with the Lord. But every time we'd break out in song, she would too.
As weak as she was, her little voice, you know, she still
was so
sang. And that just blessed me because I thought, again, I mean, here's the proof.
In the midst of all this that she's going through, she's still praising God.
She was. Yeah. Yeah. And her favorite song that we did on the air a couple weeks ago, and he walks with me in the garden, and he talks with me and tells me I'm his own. I mean, she was just singing those words and believing and that God was going to see her through this, which he did. And you know, thanks for bringing her back up because, I mean, she really has been a real testimony of courage and faith in our body of believers at Beacon of Hope. And, you know, the Word of God, I love how present the Word of God is to our situations, no matter how different the culture is. This is 2,800 years ago, almost 3,000 years ago that this happened. That's a long time ago. Yet it is still present.
Mm-hmm.
And we can learn from the Word of God because it's alive and we learn the what God is trying to say to us through the life and the faith of this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God rewarded her faith. That's a huge statement here. He rewarded her faith. He rewarded her positive attitude. He rewarded the fact that she ran to the anointing and to the presence of God. She ran to the answer. She ran to a person that she trusted that was a faith-filled man of God to get the help she needed instead of just wallowing in her mess. She ran to the anointing. And, I mean, that can be a plug for people coming to church because the anointing of God is at Beacon of Hope is extremely strong. And people can come and get the prayers prayed that need to be prayed and get the answers and get the results. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
I was just thinking that Nathan and I could hardly get off the stage today.
Well, yeah, because it's the anointing of God that is so strong during praise and worship that it just almost overwhelms you physically, doesn't
it? I'm going to put a chair up there.
Might as well put a chair up there because the presence of God is so strong. I want to give you both an opportunity to give a final thought here before I do the end things of everything that we need to tell our listening audience. But from this story, Madeline, how has this impacted your life? Is there a final thought you'd like to share?
Well, just out of all the things we talked about today, I jotted a few things down that, you know, when your circumstances feel overwhelming to you, you know, I can tell you that to joyfully persist works for me, and it certainly helps me through the hard times. But if you don't know what to do, then just be quiet and listen. That's
exactly
what I feel like I heard today. You know, mm-hmm. when you're just like, I don't know which way to turn. I need to make a decision, but I don't know what to do. Just get quiet and let God, you know, be with you and talk to you. And I feel like
it's what
Elisha
did.
Give you some good direction. And another thing that I feel like is something that we all need to do is, and I'm not telling you to get rid of people in your life, but surround yourself with positive people.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's so important that I know when I'm with people that are a little less positive, I just tend to think that way. I let it get me. Or if you are with people that are maybe, you know, not being as positive, you be positive.
Right.
And, you know, try to turn that around. And it's infectious.
I've really seen
that happen too, so.
Well, that's a good point. That's a great point,
Connie. If you can't infect them, then just walk away.
It'll
get on you, and it's
negative, and the negative stuff will pull you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking as well is that when she went to Elisha, what we talked about is when she went there after her son had died and said, you know, didn't you tell me, you know, and so Elisha is our modern day, our replacement for Elisha would be God.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to go to God and just say, you told me.
That's
did
right.
I hear you wrong?
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
was I wrong? Or, you know, you told me.
That's right.
And not necessarily hold God accountable, but kind of.
Yeah.
You know, you
sure.
said.
Argue your case. It says in Isaiah, it's okay for us to argue our case before God.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. So, do that.
And I think that in that Joyful Persistence CD, one of the things he talks about is, you know, sometimes when we pray, we're not praying the right thing.
Right.
And so the Holy Spirit, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us with our prayer so that it's worded the way that we need to ask for it.
Absolutely.
So,
that's good.
You know, you ask for the right thing and you push for it.
That's
and
right.
You just keep
push
praying.
Push forward.
Pray and keep on praying.
Woo. Amen. Thank you, Connie Farmer. Thank you, Madeline Ercolano. So glad you are on the air with us today on this show. We love coming into your homes, your cars, wherever it is that you listen, your computer.
Invading
your space with the Word of God. And as I said earlier, these shows are all on our website as of Monday afternoon each week. Go to beaconofhopeministries.com. Listen to any part that you missed, or maybe you just want to hear it again. BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. If you're in the Tampa Bay area or visiting, come see us at 3700 Almerton Road. 10 o'clock on Sunday morning for a powerful anointed service. Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study, preceded by prayer meeting at 6:15. You are welcome. Once a month, we have a great prayer meeting on the second Friday night of each month. You are welcome to come be a part of the ministry of Beacon of Hope. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Don't forget our prayer line prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. You can write any request and it will go to our prayer team and you will see God move in your situation. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister with my dear friends Madeline and Connie. Welcome back, Madeline. You did a great job.
Welcome back.
And welcome back. So we're glad you all joined us today. Tune in again next week, 4 o'clock. Same time, same station, and we're going to be right here teaching the Word of God. God bless you. Have a great week.